ॐ जननीं शारदां देवीं रामकृष्णं जगद्गुरुं पादपद्मे तयोः श्रित्वा प्रणमामि मुहुर्मुहुः। ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः हरिः। ॐ
ॐ मे ब्रह्मन् प्रोटेक्ट अस बोथ। May Brahman bestow upon us both the fruit of knowledge. May we both obtain the energy to acquire knowledge. May what we both study reveal the truth. May we cherish no ill feeling toward each other. Om, peace, peace, peace be unto all.
We have completed the 6th and 7th Anuvaka sections of the 2nd chapter of the Taittiriya Upanishad, called Brahmanandavalli. Therein, the student asks the question, if Brahman is the cause, as you are teaching us, then will an ignorant person at the end becomes identified with Brahman and becomes free or not? As well, a knower also becomes free or not? Of course, the question, a knower of Brahman becomes free or not, should never have arisen in the mind. The only doubt is about Brahman. But where is that Brahman? We do not see him. Adrishye, invisible, anatmye, anilayane. So he is supportless and he is unmanifested and he cannot be experienced through the 5 sense organs. What is the way out? Pure faith in the scriptures. The word faith is very weak word. A difference between faith and Shraddha, what we control and which varies depending upon our mind, state of our mind, is called faith, and what possesses us like a ghost and makes us do, that is called Shraddha. Though not an apt analogy, when a person forgets himself because of anger, he runs like a madman, directed by the anger, by his own anger, and can do most harmful things. Or he can also do wonderful things, like a mother who sees her child being hurt, gets completely possessed by anger, is ready to kill the tormentor, or to die also in the protection of her child. So that is called Shraddha, as an example, as an analogy. That which is never in our control, but what controls us, makes us do what 100% we believe, that is called Shraddha. So the students should have obtained that Shraddha, but Shraddha is something which we have to cultivate gradually. It starts with some amount of faith, and as we go on experimenting and experiencing the promised result, our Shraddha also will grow. So, does Brahman really exist? Implied in that question is there past life? Is there future life? Is there life after death? And is there also other spheres of experience called lokas? For that reason, the teacher has given 7 reasons, and we have seen them in the 6th and 7th sections. In the 7th reason, Brahman is the cause of both fear as well as fearlessness. And those who are knowledgeable, gnanis, they know Brahman exists, and exists doesn't mean separate from oneself, but oneself is Brahman. So such persons, they go beyond all fear, because fear comes from a second object, and duality means many objects. No, I am the only one. There is nothing else. And all the happiness I was trying to obtain from various objects, what about that? No, no object possesses any happiness. I am the only source of happiness. But as if I am looking at my own reflection in a mirror, and here the mirror happens to be every object. So, when my reflection is not at all clear, that is called unhappiness. When the reflection is clear, different degrees of clarity, that is called happiness, joy, but finally it is ananda. So, that is going to be discussed in the 8th section. But Brahman as the cause of fear just was mentioned at the end of the 7th section, that the person who makes the slightest difference between oneself and the other, and that other can be everything. Another, a tree. How can a tree be source of fear? Because if I am anywhere passing nearby, a huge branch can fall. Or if it is a palm tree, a huge, or coconut tree, huge coconut can fall upon my head. So, the tree can be both an object of pleasure by giving the coconut, coconut milk, coconut chutney, anything that can be made out of coconut. Coconut is one of the most marvelous trees in creation. Every part of the coconut can be used. Houses can be made, bridges can be made, and the leaves, one can weave, baskets, etc. Every part of it is absolutely useful. So, depending upon it, the same object can also be a source of limited pleasure or limited unhappiness also. So, what is the Upanishad telling? If anybody, and because of the cause of ignorance, makes the slightest difference between oneself and Brahman. But where is that Brahman? We don't see, a ignorant person doesn't see the Brahman, but we see the Brahman, but we don't recognize the Brahman. We think that Brahman is this world. Even a slightest, smallest mosquito can be a cause of sleeplessness, fear, until you catch and kill it. So, when one becomes a knowledgeable person, what happens? He knows, I am the only reality. There is no second. And that moment, he becomes what? All the happiness we are attributing to another object becomes my own ananda. I am ananda swarupa. But if somebody makes the slightest difference, that means even when a person reaches Brahmaloka, that is the highest sphere of dualistic happiness, that person can also get fear. What is the fear? Since Brahmaloka is attained by action, Brahmaloka can be lost also when the result of karma comes to an end. Then we can fall back from Brahmaloka. So the idea is, you must realize that there is none else excepting one's own self. That's what is wanted, but there is also a deeper implication. So, bhaya, fear, comes from Brahman. What is that? If you deviate yourself, if you see the slightest difference between you and the world, then there is no question of seeing difference between me and Brahman. Because when everything is Brahman, when Brahman is everything, the question of distancing oneself, I will go out of everything, out of the infinity, jump out of infinity, it is not possible to jump out. Therefore, the question of separating myself from Brahman doesn't arise. But what arises is, I am not Brahman. That is what is meant by difference between oneself. But the difference is always in duality only. If we can learn how to look upon this whole universe as Brahman, then there would be no fear because it is myself. When a person is acting a small analogy in dual roles as both the hero as well as villain, then the villain, sometimes the villain beats the hero. Sometimes, of course, mostly at the end, is the hero who beats the villain. Neither the villain weeps nor the hero weeps. Both are pretending that we are beating each other and we are causing so much of unhappiness with each other. But this is all mere pretense, and that gives them greatest joy. When you pretend, then it not only doesn't become anger, it becomes greatest source of happiness. So we have to learn how to become one with the world. And it is a slow process. And that's what we are going to discuss. So the last point, the state of an ignorant person, Ajnani, what is his state? That if he thinks, I am not Brahman, then he becomes limited. Limitedness causes fear. Fear is equivalent to unhappiness. Fear is equivalent to bondage. Fear is equivalent to so much of sorrow, suffering. That is what the Upanishad wants to convey. The message is, do not see any difference. As an example, if one thinks, I am different from Brahman, then that very Brahman becomes the cause of terrible fear. For that, in this 8th section, a Rig mantra is quoted, and this is that mantra. Vishasmat vatah pavate vishodeti suryaha vishasmat agnischendrascha mrityurdhavati panchamayati. Out of fear of this Brahman, asmad means Brahmanaha, from Brahman, vatah pavate, the wind goes on blowing, with holiday, no holiday at all. Vishodeti suryaha, that is, the Surya Deva does arise. Arise doesn't mean he is coming from somewhere. No. The sunrise and sunset, from our limited human viewpoint, there is a sunrise and beginning of the day, there is a sunset, the end of the day. But if we go higher than the our earth, there is no setting, there is no rising at all. It is pure what you call imagination of the brain. But we should not think it is false. It is very practical. That's why we have to work. We have to get rest. So that rhythm is very, very important. If we can live with that rhythm, that itself will remove lot of problems in this world. For that, an example is given. Because of the fear, the wind. Wind means vayu. Here vayu means vataha. Pavate means it blows. How long? 24 hours a day. That means there is no beginning, there is no end. It rises up with the creation, ends with the creation. Bhisha udeti suryaha. The sun is doing its function. Bhisha asmat agnischa indrascha. The fire burns. Indra performs his duties. And the fifth, panchama, mrityuho tavati. A death must function. Beautiful mantra, which we are not able to understand. So, Brahman himself is appearing to us in the form of the Panchadevatas, and as Panchadevatas, they will always obey the commandments of the Brahman. Why? Where is that ruler? Antaryami. That Brahman is there. That Brahman itself is manifesting in the form of the Vayu Devata, Surya Devata, Agni Devata, Indra Devata, Mrityu, etc. These are just a few samples to make us understand. And here, fear, we should not understand that they are all trembling. What is meant is, when a person creates something, along with the creation of anything, certain rules and regulations have to be created. So if it is, for example, if it is a delicate machinery, a beautiful watch, There are rules, regulations. You should not throw it out. If there is a mobile, then there are rules, regulations, how to use it. And if we follow, it gives a long time service. If we do not, a likelihood, we will have to throw it away and buy something else. It becomes expensive and painful also when it is lost. Some people get what is called mobile phobia and they are lost. What am I going to do? How am I going to live? Prana goes, that is okay. But mobile goes, that's not acceptable. So what is fear here? Because unquestioning obedience. How come? Because it is Brahman himself who is doing his job. It is nobody is commanding them. He manifested himself. I want to blow all the time to sustain my children, my creation. So Surya Deva, I want to create life. First I created life and commanded that life. Now you go on doing all the creation. So every creature that Brahman created or Brahma created has to go on doing the same Brahma's job. Each one of us are Brahma's interns. Each one of us are Vishnu's protectors, enforcers of the rules and regulations. Each one of us again become what is called death. Take a simple example of this profound statement. We cannot live without plants. Sometimes we eat plants. Sometimes even roots, bark, leaves, blossom, fruits, ripe and unripe, everything can become matter of food for everybody, if not for us, for some other creature. And without that, we cannot survive. So when a plant, for example, is created, it is called a srishti. When it grows up, becomes mature, and it is plucked, that is called laya. Until that time, it is sustained by Vishnu in the form of the sun, the heat, the water, etc., etc. So we are all totally dependent. Rather, we are the products of these Panchabhutas. So through this Rig Mantra, this Taittiriya Upanishad wants, 8th section, wants to convey to us that Brahman is the root cause of creation, he is the root cause of the maintenance, and he is the root cause of the absorption, reabsorption. So that here, root cause of the maintenance, sustenance, and he himself created, like mother and father, who is going to sustain, protect the child, until the child can stand. So, this cause, each one of us are Brahmas, Vishnus, Maheshwaras, in at different times. So, it is bhaya means unswerving that faith. I have to protect my children, therefore they will never deviate. But unfortunately, sometimes we want to deviate. Why do we deviate? Have we got a separate, independent, distinct mind which rejects God and morality and the scriptures and wants to go away from God? That is also God's will only. Ishvarah sarvabhutanam riddeshe arjuna tishrati brahmayan sarvabhutani yantrarudhani mayaya. So, in the beginning of this 8th section, which, as I mentioned earlier, should have been the attached at the end of the 7th section itself, but peculiarly for every anuvaka says with regard to this, so this mantra is there, this shloka is there, that is how it promises and starts. If we can take that shloka or mantra and take it back to the earlier section and put it, then that section will become really complete. But in understanding, that's what we need to do that. So, with this 7th reason, Brahman is both the cause of fear. When we think I am not Brahman, that becomes the cause of fear. Fear means unhappiness. Unhappiness means terrible suffering, ajnana. But when we know that I am Brahman, then that very Brahman becomes a source of Sat, Chit and Ananda. That is what wanted the this seventh section wanted to tell us. With this, the seventh section is over. Now, we already entered with this Vishas Madhvata Pavati into eighth section, but we will do a little bit of introduction into this Mimamsa. This eighth section is very aptly called Brahmananda Mimamsa, an analysis of Ananda. Ananda means bliss. So when we are using certain words like Ananda, Santosha, Sukha, etc., you know, in English language, pleasure, joy, happiness, they have different connotations. We have to understand it. If it is something very limited, very momentary, that's what we call pleasure. It's a pleasure to meet you. Definitely, it might be a pleasure to meet. But if it prolongs, it may not be a pleasure. So, momentarily, oh, very happy to see you. How are you? How are you? And then don't make any mahabharata. Get the hell out of from there. Then the other thing that comes is joy. Suddenly, if we happen to have some positive experience, perhaps suddenly, unexpectedly, you met somebody. Somebody has invited you for a cup of coffee. You are not expecting it and you are really wanting to have a cup of coffee or a cool drink or a pleasant chat, and that is the unexpected. The sunrise, beautiful sunrise, sunset, or at night, you go on seeing the stars, beautiful stars. It uplifts the mind because in the space, when we perceive these billions and billions of stars, including some galaxies also, then our mind automatically is forced to expand. Unfortunately, there are what is called negative situations. Light is one of the greatest enemy of natural phenomena. So because of the city lights, they will not allow us. Any time if a city is gone or the power station is broken and then you look at the sky, perhaps it is cloudless night, and you see the marvel of these stars as if you can really catch hold of them if you jump up a little bit. A marvelous experience. And then you can also see this brilliant light spread in the space. And that is called, that experience of these great things is called joy. So here is a person, he studied well, he obtained a steady job, and his life is going on. Not absolutely smooth, but what is called not worth noticing. Okay, my child had fallen, he got a little bit hurt, or something, I slipped and fell down, not much injury has taken place, etc. These are normal phenomena in our day-to-day life, but nothing extraordinarily bad or unfortunate had happened, and family, there is a harmony with the family members, and both of them, husband, wife, children, they are following a particular beliefs, mindsets, maybe we can call it religion, and they are leading a normal life, neither too unselfish nor too selfish, what we call a good person, a gentleman. Life is going on nicely, and for a long time it goes on without any disruption. That is called happiness. But what the Upanishad wants to tell us, all these are not different types of experiences. There is only one that is called Ananda. When Ananda is limited, very limited, it is called pleasure. When it is very exciting, makes us throw, that is called joy. When the limitation is slightly less, and that is called happiness. But ultimately, there would be accidents, there will be old age, there will be death, there will be separations. These things everyone has to experience, especially thoughtful people. So, is there any way we can obtain that Ananda? That is the very important point. So, any ananda, any happiness, accepting the bliss of Brahman is called Vishayananda, etc. And it can be roughly divided into 5 categories. I am going to come to that point. So these are, and even this worldly happiness, that means limited happiness, that means limited by 3 factors. That is Desha, Kala, Vastu, Paricheda, by space, by time, and by another object. For example, I am enjoying a good cup of coffee or breakfast. There is a time. It is 8 o'clock in the morning, so I am enjoying it. That is, there is a beginning. And whatever has a beginning must have an end. That is the, what is called time limitation. Then Desha. Now, after breakfast has to come, then I have to go to the office. So, my going to the office limits. I cannot go on enjoying the first sip of coffee. That time only it is limited. Afterwards it is called anuvada or charvita charva. That is chewing the cud, like chewing gum, etc. It comes to an end. And when I am enjoying one object, suddenly another object, which is also an object of happiness for me, when it comes, oh, how nice it would be if I can taste it. But my stomach is full, so let me wait until I become hungry, etc. But at the point, every worldly happiness, all these are called worldly happiness, reflected happinesses, right from the lowest loka until Brahma loka, only the graded happinesses, they're all temporary. That means temporary. So, that we have to recognize this cognition that everything is temporary. If we can develop slowly, viveka and vairagya, discrimination and dispassion will also arise in it. So, what are the points? What are the points we have to discuss? These are called graded anandas. Let me just explain what is a graded ananda. For example, if the ananda we get by experiencing an object is also divided into the lowest grade, third class, second class, first class, and then accordingly the ananda experience through that object is also depends upon graded. If the object is third class, the happiness I derive a third class. If the object is a better object, medium happiness giving object, my happiness will be higher. And if it is the best object, naturally what it can give, that will be the greatest temporary but greatest happiness I can derive. This is with regard to the object of our experience. But it also depends upon, if I am a tamasic person, I get only tamasic ananda. If I am a rajasic ananda, far superior, but I get rajasic ananda. If I am a sattvika person, I get sattvika ananda. And the highest sattvika ananda is called brahmaloka ananda, which has a beginning before going to brahmaloka. It is not there. When I reach brahmaloka, it is there. Then at the end of the karma phala, when it gets exhausted, then I will be thrown out. I have to fall automatically. Nobody need throw me. My own karma phala comes to an end and I fall down. So that is the end. Srishti, sthiti, laya, for not only karma, karma phala also comes there. This is called graded anandas. So, from another viewpoint, several times we discussed Vishayananda. That is objective pleasure. Higher than that is intellectual pleasure. Higher than that is aesthetic pleasure or joy. Higher than that is moral joy. And the highest, unlimited, infinite, That is called Brahmananda. So, until Dharmananda, everything is graded only. There is nothing else. And this graded happiness, all this is called samsara. Samsara means temporary, changing, dependent, also called mithya, experiences of what is called happiness, or that same Brahmananda, experienced through the coverings, mediums of these gradations, time, space and object, that is called graded happiness. So, any of these graded happinesses can be experienced by one, but who is a Kshatriya and Akamahata. So, this eighth section deals with a beautiful analysis. And through this analysis, what the Upanishad wants to convey is, you do some virtuous actions. Actually, your mind becomes, I am going to discuss that point, very most marvelous point we have to keep in mind. So, he goes to a higher loka, so to say. And then, he enjoys it, so long as the result of the karma phala loss, and then he will fall down. And there are several lokas are there. And the purpose of this Upanishad telling is to establish that there are higher worlds. And one can only go to whichever world we deserve to go. Lower world or higher world. We don't choose. Our karma chooses. That is what is called, it is vidhi. God says, this person goes to Sargaloka, this person goes to Prajapati Loka, this person goes to Naraka Loka, hellish world, etc., etc. So, first two points is, we are experiencing only Brahmananda, but through the medium of our body and mind, which limits, that limitation is through time, space and causation or another object. But there are some blessed souls who are experiencing all this Brahmananda itself, all the time. So, do they experience graded Ananda? That is one of the questions. Whenever Sri Ramakrishna, especially when we think he was in Samadhi, which is a wrong notion, was he experiencing Brahmananda or graded happiness? If our understanding is right, we have to say Sri Ramakrishna is experiencing Brahmananda only all the time. Once a person knows I am Brahman, there is no break in his ananda. Suppose a knower of Brahman is eating a sweet, which before realization, he loved it. And now also, he loves it. Because same body and mind is there. Or he seems to love it. When he is experiencing that one, is he experiencing Brahmananda? If you say, no, his mind is very pure, but he is experiencing only sweet ananda, we would be terribly wrong, completely wrong. Because a knower of Brahman sees only Brahman everywhere. If Sri Ramakrishna is eating a sweet, it is not like our concept of sweet. It is Brahman only. And when a person is experiencing Brahman, what does he think? I am here. Brahman is there. The sweet is Brahman. I am separate from this sweet. I am separate from this Brahman in the form of this sweet. So, I will experience only graded happiness. No, that would be a wrong, wrong idea. You will be experiencing 100%. But since we see a beautiful smile on his face, we think Sri Ramakrishna is enjoying this beautiful sweet, beautiful bhajan, beautiful conversation, etc., etc. Our, we can only measure even Brahman, just like Brahman, a knower of Brahman also, with our limited mind only, there is no other way. That is why one of the teachings of Sri Ramakrishna, it is like a poor man who loves pumpkin, and when he happens by his good fortune to meet the emperor, and the emperor was pleased with him, you ask whatever you want, he says, grant me a nice, huge, or a number of pumpkins like that, because I love them. He cannot ask. Don't think he is a fool. to his knowledge, that ananda is the greatest ananda. We can only ask. Some people ask, most people ask money or job or a suitable partner. All these are fall under that same villager category. There is no difference at all. We will discuss about these things. So, section 8, let us just chant a little bit and then see what it is. But before that, there is a small discussion, diversion so to say, not really, but so to say. What is that? Now, in the 6th and 7th sections, 7 reasons are given to establish by Advaita Vedanta that Brahman does really exist. Is it true that God or Brahman can be proved by logical reasons? And Advaita Vedanta says, no, he is not adrushya, anatmya, anilayana, anirukta. He is not available. Therefore, logic only functions in known things, sensory objects, sensory knowledge. It will not go beyond the sensory knowledge. Therefore, Brahman is beyond all senses. Atindriya jnanam. Logic cannot function. Then, what is the first conclusion? Brahman can never be established with any type of logical reason, any number of logical reasons. Then why are you quoting the 7 reasons? Because Vedanta accepts 2 types of logic. What is it? Kevala tarka. That is merely logic which does not believe, does not depend, does not rely upon the Shruti or the scriptures. This is also called dry logic. Shushka tarkaha. So Brahman can never be established. If it is Shushka tarka, not only Brahman cannot be established, but even an ordinary object also cannot be proved. It must be logical, rational logic. Then only it is possible. How scientists think about, that is supposed to be rational logic. But even the greatest scientist is enveloped with thick darkness, ignorance. That is why nobody is questioning whether AI can ever become AGI or a machine with self-consciousness. Because it thinks much better than us, much faster than us. Its memory is almost infinite unless electricity goes down. Then everything goes down. That is the end of it. So it has its own limitations. But it looks at you, it smiles at you, and it greets you, and it uses words of love. These are all what is called thought reflections. How you have to reply or react to this particular situation with the other person. But does it know that I am pure consciousness? You ask it. It will tell, yes, I am pure consciousness. Ask, look at a mirror, look at your own reflection, and then say, are you alive? Of course, immediately it will reply, I am alive, don't you see? That is, it is only reflecting what I am saying, you are saying. So, self-consciousness will never come to these machines. But every scientist talks in another 2-3 years or 5 years or 10 years. So every AI machine, AI intelligence acquires self-consciousness. What a horrible, terrible mistake. These scientists should know better. But because they work in the field of 5 sense organs, so they think they don't know that even their mind is only an inert thing unless it is aided. For example, if they are unconscious, if they are in a comatic condition, who is an Einstein in a comatic condition? Who is the greatest scientist in an unconscious condition, in a sleep, deep sleep condition? That should open their eyes, but they don't. There is something separate, which without which no inert thing can ever work. But at the same time, that inert thing seems to be having I am consciousness, but it is only what is called pratibimba, borrowed reflection, reflected consciousness called chidabhasa. So, first type of logic, however, rationalities, if it can never go beyond the realm of five sense organs. But the second is that logic which relies upon, depends upon the statements of the scriptures and tries to understand them in a rational way, and every statement of this, any scripture and any commentaries, any talks, we all try to rationally understand, or somebody who thinks he understands better tries to convince us, this is how we have to think about it. This is called scripture approved logic. Shruti sammata tarka. This is also called shauta tarkaha or shastra tarkaha. So Advaita Vedanta or any Vedanta or any religion, in fact, Bible, so God was there, he created this, and man was in walking with God in paradise. That, what does it mean? It means man was one with God. There are no two, I and this my creation. Then God also have to fear man, even more than man fears God, and he has to suffer. This most people do not even dive deep and accept this philosophy. Advaita Vedanta falls under this category. So only taking the support of scriptural statements from various statements. So these seven reasons are given, and for each reason there are commensurate scriptural statements, and only on faith we have to take. If we have the slightest doubt, then we will never be able to come to the conclusion God exists. That is the first point we have to understand. Now, just to introduce what is this entirety, this is one of the longest passages of all these sections. I will just read out before we go to the understanding in the next class. This is also called Ananda Mimamsa, Brahmananda, Brahma Mimamsa, or Brahmananda Mimamsa. As we said, the second chapter is called Brahmavalli, Anandavalli, or also called Brahmanandavalli. That's a beautiful name. So Mimamsa means a beautiful analysis of Ananda. That means how many gradations are there from the lowest to the highest. And in this particular, as a sample, 11 gradations are given, which we will talk about in our next class. Saisha Anandasya Mimamsa Bhavati Yuvasyat Sadhu Yuvadhyayakaha Asishto Dhrishto Balishtaha Tasyayam Prithvi Sarva Vittasya Purnasya Sayeko Manusha Anandaha Teye Satam Manusha Anandaha Sayeko Manusha Gandharvanam Anandaha Shotriyasya Akamahatasya Teye Satam Manusha Gandharvanam Anandaha Sayeko Deva Gandharvanam Anandaha Shrotriyasya Chakamahatasya Teyeshatam Devagandharvanam Anandaha Sayekaha Pitrunam Chiraloka Lokanam Anandaha Shrotriyasya Chakamahatasya Teyeshatam Pitrunam Chiraloka Lokanam Anandaha Sayeka Ajana Janam Devanam Anandaha Shrotriyasya Chakamahatasya Teyeshatam Ajana Janam Devanam Anandaha Sayekah karma devanam devanam anandaha. E karmana devan apiyanti shrotriyasya chakamahatasya. Teyeshatam karma devanam devanam anandaha. Sayeko devanam anandaha. Shrotriyasya chakamahatasya. Teyeshatam devanam anandaha. Sayeka indrasya anandaha. Shrotriyasya chakamahatasya. Teyeshatam indrasya anandaha. Sayeko brihaspatir anandaha. Shrotriyasya chakamahatasya teyeshatam brihaspatera anandaha sayekah prajapatera anandaha shrotriyasya chakamahatasya teyeshatam prajapatera anandaha sayeko brahmana anandaha shrotriyasya chakamahatasya sayaschayam purushe eschasavadhitye sayekah sayevamvit asmat lokat pretya ఏతమన్నమయమాత్మానం ఉపసంక్రామతి, ఏతం ప్రాణమయమాత్మానం ఉపసంక్రామతి, ఏతం మనోమయమాత్మానం ఉపసంక్రామతి, ఏతం విజ్ఞానమయమాత్మానం ఉపసంక్రామతి, ఏతం ఆనందమయమాత్మానం ఉపసంక్రామతి, తదప్రియష శ్లోకో భవతి. దిస్ ఇస్ ది టెక్స్ట్, ఆల్ ది మంత్రాస్ ఫ్రమ్ ది 8th సెక్షన్. సో వీ విల్ టాక్ అబౌట్ దీస్ థింగ్స్ ఇన్ అవర్ నెక్స్ట్ క్లాస్. ఓం జననీం శారదాం దేవీం రామకృష్ణం జగద్గురుం పాదపద్మే తయో శ్రుత్వా ప్రణమామి ముహుర్ముహుః. మే రామకృష్ణ హోలీ మదర్ అండ్ స్వామి వివేకానంద బ్లెస్ అస్ ఆల్ విత్ భక్తి. జయ రామకృష్ణ.